Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist. And welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, we'll talk about capacity assessment. So what is capacity assessment? It is a formal evaluation used to determine a person's ability to make informed choices about their health, about their finances, legal matters, daily activities, or other aspects of their lives. This is commonly conducted and it happens in either in a medical situation, in a legal situation, and in therapeutic settings. And this is done to assess the cognition, their emotional, and their functional abilities. When we are doing capacity assessment, we have a few objectives and goals. Why do we do this? Number one is to determine the decision-making ability of the person. We want to evaluate whether the individual can understand, whether they can retain and weigh the information so that they can make an informed choice. The second reason why we want to do this is because we want to ensure safety and the well-being of the patient. We want to identify if there are risks that may arise because of their impaired judgment or because of any cognitive decline. Another reason why we'd want to do this is if we want a guide with regard to legal and medical decisions. For example, we wanted some support in decisions that are related to a patient's ability to make consent, about guardianship, about the power of attorney, or at any advance directives. And one other reason that I can think of is if we want to support our rehabilitation or therapy planning, this is very important. We want to be able to establish the appropriate levels of assistance and intervention that we will be providing to our patients. When we're doing capacity assessment, who do we do this for and who do we do this with? Who needs capacity assessment? Individuals with neurological conditions, first and foremost, particularly those stroke survivors, those with traumatic brain injury, or those who's had some other organic problems like multiple sclerosis, for example. Because once the brain is impaired because of a structural problem, then it may impair their ability. And it's just to be sure that they still can make sound decisions. Those people who are in the elderly population, so older adults, who is showing some cognitive decline. So we want to be able to assess capacity for them, particularly those who has dementia, Alzheimer's disease, or Parkinson's disease. People with mental disorders, or mental situations, I'd like to call it, particularly those who have schizophrenia, those who have bipolar disorder and severe depression. Although, for your information, guys, my practice has always been in physical dysfunction. So I am more attuned to assessing the capacity of those people who has organic brain problems such as stroke or Alzheimer's, but not had a chance to establish capacity for people with well-being or mental health concerns. We want to assess the capacity of those people in critical care or post-surgery as well. So why we do this is because we want to assess their recovery and cognitive function after the medical conditions. And the last group of individual would be those with intellectual or developmental disabilities. I mean, we want to determine their ability to make informed choices. When we are assessing capacity, there are key areas that we wanted to check. Now, we wanted to review their medical decision-making capacity. This is one key area of capacity, their medical decision-making. For example, those people who would want to decide whether they want to go surgery or they want to refuse the treatment. Can the guiding question here is, can the individual understand and weigh the medical risks and the benefits? So it is best that a doctor do this, because they're the ones that will be asking about the surgery. And if they're going to do a certain procedure to the patient, they might want to really gauge it themselves if their patients really have the capacity. So those who would do the intervention would want a first-hand information, unless they have a trusted capacity assessor. Okay. So another key area of capacity is a financial capacity. So a guiding question here is, can the person manage their finances? Can they pay the bills? Can they understand the transaction? We want this because we want to avoid financial exploitation, or we want to make sure that people are making sound investments as well. So again, for those people who are either elderly or with organic brain concerns like a stroke and head injury. Another key area of capacity is that of legal capacity. And the guiding question here is, can the individual sign a legal document? Can they make a will, or can they grant power of attorney? And this is to ensure that a will or a contract is legally valid. Because if it is not, if the person does not have the capacity and the ability to make sound choices, then the contracts that they sign may not be valid. Another one would be a person's daily living and functional capacity. And this is where occupational therapists can come in. Here, the guiding question would be, can the individual perform activities of daily living, such as cooking or dressing and self-care? So the day-to-day tasks. So we want to know, and we want to help in deciding if a person would need home care or assisted living. It's almost like ADL assessment, isn't it? And then the last component or key area of capacity would be person's mental and emotional capacity, on which case, can the person regulate emotions and can they communicate the needs, their needs appropriately? And we want to be able to identify whether the person is at risk of harm because of an impaired judgment. So how do we assess capacity? How is the capacity assessed? There are a few steps or a few things. Number one, through clinical observations. And this can be done by a doctor, by a psychologist, by occupational therapists like us. We want to be able to assess, and we need to assess their cognitive abilities and their emotional responses. So these are all clinical interviews and observations. Another way to assess capacity, and this is very helpful, is if we use standardized tests and tools, because it formalizes their ability and their retention. So they need to have an appropriate score. For example, those with mini mental state examination, or you can have Montreal Cognitive Assessment or MoCA, and these are all cognitive screening tools. Use those tools. The other one is in terms of assessing capacities through functional assessments, which occupational therapists are in a very good position to be in. We want to evaluate the ability to perform daily living activities independently. Another one would be legal or ethical reviews. So we want to determine if an individual meets the legal standards for decision making and competence. And then we want to obtain some other collateral information, like any input from family, relevant people, caregivers, or other healthcare providers. And we want to assess the behaviors and the abilities over time. And once we've done the capacity, so there are only three potential outcomes to this. And this is very simple. You're asking for capacity, then there are three outcomes: whether the person has full capacity, or if they have partial capacity, or if they are lacking capacity. So a person has full capacity if they can make independent decisions. You can consider them to have partial capacity if the individual would require supported decision making or specific assistance in some areas. So there's partial capacity. And those who are lacking capacity would need some legal guardianship, or would need some power of attorney, or any other protective measures that may be recommended. So partial capacity is a guarded capacity, meaning, yes, sometimes they don't decide properly, but you still need to be there. So just act on best interest. You're not totally negating their ability to make a decision, but it's there. Okay, it's just like very old grandma who's quite forgetful, then family is just helping out because their capacity is partial. As compared to those who really is out, like those who is on active delirium, for example. So these are all at the for that time that they are delirious, they are lacking capacity. And now let's talk about some of the precautions and some ethical considerations when we are assessing capacity. What do you need to consider? One, be aware of your biases. So we have to avoid bias. We have to make sure that the cultural part is considered, the linguistic nature of it, the educational differences between yourself and your patients. So we don't want these affecting your ability to assess capacity or to establish capacity. One. But the second one is you need to respect the person's autonomy. So the individuals should always be involved in the decision making as much as possible. And this is a trap for a lot of clinicians that I have seen over time, the trap of making a decision and feeling that being a clinician, that unconsciously they feel that they can make a decision for patient. So you always have to step back, allow much of the patient to flourish, allow much of the patient to shine and let them make their decision. And you're just there as therapist to help out. Okay, so you have to respect the autonomy. The other precaution and ethical consideration would be we need to use the least restrictive measure. We want to prioritize a supported decision making before assigning a full guardianship as much as possible. Again, there's the focus on autonomy in here. And then the last one would be to reassess over time as well. So these are some of the things that you need to do because it can fluctuate. Okay, guys, just remember, capacity can fluctuate. All right, that's the talk. What did we talk about again? Capacity. We've talked about a few things about capacity, some of the things that are important. It's good to know, good to know. Capacity assessment helps us to determine the individual's ability to make their choices. And what it does is we are ensuring that their rights, their safety, their well-being is prioritized. And capacity assessment is widely used in healthcare, in legal and therapeutic settings, because it guides and supports interventions. There you go, guys. It's one talk, partially and partly about capacity. If you enjoyed this conversation, talk to your friends about it. Have a discussion, learn together and grow together. And just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.